Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to a special bonus episode of Australian Jams. I'm Gemma Bastiani, as always. And I'm here talking to someone who has done pretty much everything in music, and I'm very keen to chat to them. I've got Ben Lee here. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'd like to apologize to your listeners for being a little congested with seasonal allergies, but I will try and be articulate.
I'm sure it's okay. I've been very chaotic on this podcast in the past, so I think they're used to that sort of thing.
Okay.
I should describe to everyone, you've got a great background going on here. It's like a mushroom field.
It's a backdrop. Because once we realized that, like, we'd be doing all of my promo and everything, you know, online.
Yeah.
I was like, well, we've got strobe lights. I'm going to be doing some little gigs, you know. And so we got a big, giant, hand-painted prop, like, set background, you know, of all these mushrooms.
It's incredible. So, for those who don't know you, which is a travesty, can you give us a very brief one-line intro as to who you are and what you do?
I'm a singer-songwriter, professional adventurer, raconteur, and superhero.
I mean, pretty accurate, I would say. So... we're going to chat about your new single that by the time this comes out will have been out from the previous Friday. But what I did ask you to do was bring four of your favorite Australian releases. And we're not going to go into too much detail about the individual songs, but what you have brought is an array of kind of early 90s, almost grunge Australian tracks. Is that how you would describe them?
It was just like shit I grew up on that I loved and like it inspired me, you know, the kind of, there's a certain kind of Australian indie rock that was sort of like, I guess, my roots. Yeah.
So it's really interesting because the new single Born for This Bullshit, do you feel like it's almost an element of going back to that time in terms of the instrumental?
It's a mix, you know, I think sonically, where I'm at with this new song and the album is it has a lot of collage elements that the mix of like home recording and studio recording and all of that, that is a real part of like my sort of lo-fi roots. But the actual album, we couldn't have made something like that back in the 90s because no one had all these brilliant home studios and laptops and everything. And, you know, but the principle of it is, The principle of it is true to the way I started creating music at that point, early 90s, which was, what do I have? What can I make with it?
Yeah.
And not wanting it to be too slick and too polished, but let you feel like you're actually like in the excitement of the creative process with the musicians.
So full disclosure, I played the new single for my mum, who's a very big fan. Her first comment was that the instrumental sounds more pronounced than she's ever heard from you before as a solo artist. Do you think that's an accurate descriptor?
Well, I think my sense of aesthetics and production and all of that has developed through the years. Like I've gotten more capable as a producer and more aware of what I like in all types of sonics, like not just guitar and vocals, but what kind of snare sounds do I like and synths and, you know, like, so yeah, it's definitely like, it's pretty full sounding and pretty, but I've done some pretty like produced stuff before. I think the thing about when you've got a career as like long as mine is that it's very like, people have different interpretations of what type of music I make. Like there are some people who think of me as playing like just acoustic.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff they've listened to. And then there's others who've listened to like weirder stuff or more aggressive stuff or more sample-based things. And I think there's room for a lot of different types of relationships to what I do. So it's not totally. It's not an entirely new idea, but she probably likes the more mellow acoustic kind of stuff, which there is some of that on the record. Yeah.
You've talked about how this song was actually written in 2019, coming out now, and you've kind of realized its relevance with the world that has existed post 2019. What was the feeling? Was it almost like you realized that there was this new meaning to it, so decided that it should be a single, or was it always going to be that song for you?
I mean, it always felt like an important song for me, but for me, it was much more personal. Like when I wrote it, it was almost that sense of like being in the music industry or getting older and just being like, I'm personally born for this bullshit. Right. Yep. Whereas like now it's like, we all have to have that attitude. Like we have to have a certain amount of swagger just to get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's like hard to do. So it's almost like the personal sort of adversarial relationship I had with like the world, it became everyone's story in the last 18 months, you know?
Do you enjoy that aspect of people listening to something you've written and having their completely personal interpretation of what you've written that could be so separate to what it actually meant for you?
Yeah, I do. And I even used to really like, before lyrics were up on Google and stuff, I used to like not putting lyrics in albums because I liked mishearing lyrics.
Yeah.
And I wanted my audience to mishear my lyrics, but now I've realized they just Google them and they assume that whatever's up on Google is correct. So they don't really mishear it and enjoy that. Like for me, like Cigarettes Will Kill You, I've sort of told this story before, that I Want a TV Embrace came from me mishearing a Fiona Apple lyric where she sang about my deviant ways. I thought she said my TV embrace. So the mishearing of it was my own creativity got engaged and I took it and jumped off. But now I think it's a bit less that because of everyone just Googling stuff. So I was like, I should just put the lyrics in there. But basically what I'm saying is, yes, I like the idea that it's not complete when I make it. It's complete when the audience completes it.
Yeah. Well, and then that leans into the whole idea of, you know, the unfortunate COVID perspective of what this song will have for a lot of people, I imagine.
Yeah. But the good thing is that it is very human in the sense that to be a 43-year-old believing that I'm currently making the best work of my career and standing up for myself in that way and being like, check this out, you know, like that's the same energy that we need to get through a lockdown. That's the same energy we collectively need to deal with climate change.
Yeah.
We kind of need to be unswervingly and almost delusionally positive. But with awareness, like not naive, you know? So
well, solving attitude, right? Rather than a defeatist attitude. Yeah.
Exactly. And having some fun with it. Like I actually think you turn people off being a problem solver if it all feels really depressing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think making it fun and giving the idea that the attempt to transcend our personal and collective problems is actually fun. That is the process to be engaged with in an exciting way.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And I come from a sport background in terms of media and women in sport in particular. So the whole thing is always people complaining about not enough coverage of women in sport rather than actually doing the coverage. And the process of actually doing the coverage is the fun part. And then you get your answer from that. Do you see it kind of in that way as well?
Yeah, that makes sense. Totally. I like that.
Women in sport, always in every podcast I ever do. sorry about that. I always take
it's good.
Swerve.
I like it.
The thing that I think a lot of people have noticed recently about you is your enthusiasm toward younger Australian artists, or more emerging Australian artists, I should say. Has that always been something you've focused very keenly on, or is that something currently you're just really enjoying kind of leaning into?
It's a mixture. I think as a 14-year-old who got my break in the industry because Sonic Youth and the Beastie Boys were like, hey, this kid's cool. Let's put out his record. Let's take him on tour. I had a very early appreciation of what it means to get that like cosign from an established artist. And I always just, what I was taught through my experience was that's part of the responsibility with success.
Yeah.
That if you get any kind of success, you go, okay, who can I bring with me?
Yep.
Who do I want to direct my audience's attention to? It's what Nirvana did. It's what David Bowie did. It's what like all artists I loved do that, as opposed to the like, there's also like the Madonna model where you stay tapped into what young people are doing, but you sort of claim it as your own and yep. don't necessarily, you know, and I don't like that as much. Like I like the idea. So there's that, but then there's also the side that I was like the younger end of the Gen X culture, you know? And so in a way, my sensibility were already a little bit separate from like Sonic Youth, Beastie Boys, Pavement, because they came from like the hardcore world of like record shops, indie rock touring, real tribal culture.
Yeah.
Whereas I came from the like picking through record stores and sharing them and being into like pop stuff and the Pet Shop Boys and camp culture and like all this kind of different stuff, right? And so I actually feel in amongst younger artists who've grown up on streaming,
yeah,
I actually feel like sort of more spiritually aligned in a way that like when I meet someone like Georgia Mack, who's like essentially like an underground artist who comes from the underground, but who says, I want to be the Australian Lady Gaga. I'm yeah. like, hell yeah. And you are, because that's how I felt. And it's now okay to want that. Like the way the underground and pop have merged is yeah. like irreversible now. But when I came out of indie rock and then had like, I want Mandy Moore singing on my record, it was seen as like blasphemous. Mm-hmm. Whereas now that's kind of cool. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's just a different, I relate to younger artists in that way. And there's the less rules.
It's really interesting that you say that, because this is a conversation we've had on the podcast a lot, is the whole, when did pop stop being kind of a blasphemous or uncool thing to like? And I feel like Cub Sport from Brisbane are very much a band that have been at the forefront of that, is like, pop is cool. It doesn't matter. You're still a legitimate musician if you make pop music. Do you see artists in Australia really kind of taking that on like Cub Sport have?
Yeah. I mean, I think Mallrat.
Yeah,
is like that. I think Thelma Plum's like that. I think Japanese Wallpaper, all that stuff and that production is like that. The Greta Ray. Like, I think that, look, the other reality is we're in pretty small market in Australia.
Yeah.
And if you don't have pop success, you're not going to be able to pay your bills.
Yeah.
Like, there, like America and Europe are so big that you can have a tiny niche slice of the pie and make a living. Mm-hmm. If you have a tiny niche slice of the pie here, you're in a share house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just the reality of it. So I think thinking on a scale that can get you at least in front of this whole country is like an imperative for survival as an artist here.
Do you think that music is leading the way in that respect, in terms of liking what is something that is popular is fine now? People are taking more ownership of that sort of stuff, like liking a boy band or a reality TV show as compared to being embarrassed by that stuff in the past?
I think we could have a bit more of a happy medium. I think it's yep. gone a little bit too far for my tastes. Like, I think there's stuff that's just like corporate.
Yep.
There's some stuff that just sounds corporate to me, and I don't like that. Like, I don't want to feel a record company or a producer, like, I don't want to feel their imprint.
Mm-hmm.
on a young female artist particularly. You know yep. what I mean? Like, I, in my dream world as a music fan, I'd like to see an 18-year-old female singer-songwriter with a 20-year-old female producer.
Yeah.
Who's like music coming from the world, not coming from within the industry, coming from within the world that the perspective is coming from. And yep. I think you can have both. Like, I think you can make music that works on a level that connects with everybody, but it's done with an independent spirit. Yeah. And I'm just not into like the corporate side where it's like every song has 40 songwriters on it. And it's like the vocals have been fixed on everything so much. And like, it just doesn't interest me personally. I mean, look, there's room for all of it. It's just what the double-edged sword with Australia, with being a musician, is.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You have to play broad to have a career and sustain yourself, right? Even if that means like getting Triple J's approval, that's still like a major gatekeeper so that you can have a career. And the upside of that is you're starting to see like, I think, more ambition. You're starting to see, like I said, like Georgia, like, you know, like people wanting to be bigger and better and great. But the danger is that things aren't maybe given the time to develop outside of the spotlight and from an independent place, like from within a scene. Like, how can a scene develop if everyone's signed right away after putting one song up on Spotify?
Well, yeah, the scene thing is interesting, going back to the songs that you chose, because you've chosen artists like Smudge and Hard-Ons and Love Positions and Girling, who are all very much scene bands in the 90s, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's so funny because people say to me, like, oh, you've made a lot of records. I was like, really? Like, in a 30-year career, I've made, like, 20? By indie rock standards in the 90s, that was, like, not much. Like, all those artists were making, like, 3 records a year with different projects, side projects, collaborations. That's what I come from. So I always viewed it as, like, I mean, this is the elitist part of me that maybe, like, some people don't agree with, but I've actually always cared more about what other artists think of my work than the audience. Like, I've always wanted to make music for like my scene, whatever that is, whoever I'm hanging out with. Like, I care about that, you know? Like, I want to be in conversation with my peers. Mm-hmm. Hey, the anonymous public, it's amazing. Woo, they like me, you know? But it's when you're an artist you respect, digs what you're doing, and you have that, it's very specific. And maybe that's been destructive in my life, because I hear a lot of people say, oh, Ben Lee, he's like an artist's artist. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of artists, like, except for big hits or whatever, but in general, people that have followed me more, like what I'm doing, are artists. But I like that. You know, I like the idea that I'm inspiring younger people to take risks and to think outside the box a bit too.
But it's a very specific feel of being part of that community as well, isn't it? And the community in Sydney in the 90s, very different to what it was in Melbourne and what it is today.
Yeah, but you could have that, you know, like we, when we got to Sydney in December, the first thing we did was me and my wife, Ione, we wanted to set up like a monthly variety show, kind of like what we used to do at Largo in LA. And it's like, we just tapped into all the local great up and coming comedians and musicians, and like, but you have to foster a scene. You have to create spaces where it can occur. And, you know, it's like, it's fun, but it takes energy. And if everyone is thinking about the big audience, they often skip putting together the cool little things.
Yep.
Because everyone's like, oh, well, how's that? You know, there's only going to be 100 people there. What's the point? Well, the point is that becomes a breeding ground for so much creativity and connection that it pays off tenfold, you know? And that's sort of like why I think it's worth putting energy into those sort of scenes.
There's value in that. It's just a different kind of value to maybe what people are encouraged to pursue.
Well, it's also, you have to think long term.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think we live in a culture now where it's like, I catch myself doing it. Like, I can put up a TikTok and I'm interested in the response it's getting. But as soon as I put up another one, I'm like, oh, why are they watching the old one? Because I only care about the newest thing I've done.
Yeah.
And so we live in a culture that really thinks about short-term benefit on the newest thing.
Yeah.
And in a way, I think we do miss depth with some of those experiences.
Well, I guess, and the way we consume stuff, it rewards the newest thing being the biggest priority as well, isn't it? Streaming, social media, all of that rewards what is current, what is now, what are you doing right now that's more interesting than what you did 10 weeks ago?
Yeah. But that's actually, like, talking about TikTok, that's what I like about that, that like the way people use music on it is not about what's the newest.
Yeah.
It's essentially about what they can recontextualize and own and make funny or entertaining for themselves.
Yeah.
And I like that it's sometimes really old or obscure or weird stuff, or like you really see what moves people in an organic way.
Well, and it's interesting to see how that evolves. Like, where did that start and why is it now the most popular thing? Like, what was it about that?
And it's so like the idea that like I know that people try and make their songs go viral on TikTok or whatever, but pretty much anything that works as a sound on TikTok appears to have been a totally organic moment where someone had a funny idea.
Yeah.
And they shared it. It was not going, we have this piece of content. How do we make this, get this across to the most people? How do we get it to the influencer? It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
And I like that democratizing aspect of it, you know?
Well, it's in the hands of the listeners, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Fascinating. The new single, it's representative of the album that is coming out, would you say?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah? And you've got a film clip that's been produced for it?
Oh, man, it's insane. You haven't seen it, right?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, it comes out on Friday. I did it with this guy, Byron Spencer, who's just like this genius visual guy. and my, I was just like, I started seeing his work pop up. I saw the Genesis Owusu video and I saw his Instagram. I was like, this guy gets it. This guy understands collage, high culture, trash culture, John Waters, crazy anime, like the whole thing. I got what he was doing and I knew he would have. And so we just created a world together and it's really cool.
That's sick. And I it's funny because there's so much color in a lot of the stuff I've been seeing about the new record.
Yeah.
And that kind of is a bit of a theme of some really cool artists right now, is using really vibrant color. Was that something that you always wanted to do with it because of the nature of the record, or it was just something you were feeling at the time, or where did that come from?
I mean, I love color. Like, I just always, I'm always drawn to like bright colors. It just seems kind of like it's the childlike aspect of it.
Yeah.
I've always liked it. And yeah, I don't know why. I mean, the color, the way people use color now is also interesting, probably because of social media too, that you're also trying to grab people's attention in a very short amount of time, like as they're scrolling, basically. And so the more dynamic, the more arresting, the more colorful an image is, the more chance you have from a marketing level of like actually grabbing their eyeballs.
Yeah.
And, but instead of like being scared of that, I was like, when me and Byron were talking about the video, he was like, is this too far? Like, he showed me a couple of things and I was like, dude, more is more. Let's just go for it. And it's a feast for the eyeballs, you know?
Amazing. We will link that in the show notes as well, everyone. Cool. And just one final question for you that I ask everyone, who's your current favorite Australian artist and what sort of stuff should we be looking at from them?
Yeah. I think everything Georgia Mac is doing at the moment is just killer. Like, I heard the new Camp Cope record, which is amazing. I've heard her upcoming solo thing. She's got a single coming out very soon that is just like one of my favorite songs of the year.
Wow.
I think Amel and the Sniffers are amazing. Lisa Mitchell, who I always love, she's got a record coming out I'm excited to hear. Trying to think, I love Genesis Owusu. I thought he was really good. A lot of the rap stuff I really like, I love Dreaming Now. I think he's a really good, an Indigenous rapper that's kind of like, it's almost like, it's a little political, but I was talking to him about it. He's like, it's not political, it's spiritual. And I was like, yeah, man, it's like Bob Marley, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it's like the politics are from a place of wanting to heal.
Yeah.
You know? So I was very moved by him. So yeah, I don't know, tons of stuff. Yeah.
Tons of stuff. I mean, there is a lot. It feels, given the what we've kind of been going through the past 18 months or so, it feels almost like you could think that it's stagnant within the industry right now, but there's still heaps of great stuff happening.
Yeah, it's just no gigs. I mean, I think everyone's being very creative at home.
Yeah, no gigs, no nothing. Yeah. It's very sad.
Totally.
That is what it is. Yeah, thank you so much for joining me. And we will have a playlist of all the songs you've suggested available
awesome.
With this, including your new song, Born for This Bullshit. Hopefully we can have some gigs soon. Hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed, next year.
Until then, is there anything else you want to shout out?
Not particularly.
Follow you on TikTok is the message. Yeah, is that what the message is?
Yeah. And I mean, on Twitter. It's like people can find me there. Like I'm on my socials just doing my thing, entertaining myself. So yeah.
I have been enjoying the Twitter. I'll be cool. honest.
Twitter's I love Twitter.
The place. It's fun. It is a good place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ben Lee, cool. for joining me.
Take it easy.
See ya.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.